Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free, coast to coast. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. I'm your horse host this morning. I've caught a little cold at the end of the last week, and I'm getting plenty of medication, but still got a little bit of a residual in my throat. It doesn't feel bad. It just sounds a little bit gravelly. But I'll fit right in with our gravelly voice good friend here, Rich Galen, who is actually, Rich has got a clear voice. He's got a great voice. Rich is
Don't try to kiss up to me now, pal.
Too late. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, the publisher and the writer of Mullings.com, an outstanding political commentary three times a week. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you, my friend.
It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
Okay, Rich, I need you to help me out here. I told the audience I'm a little confused about something. After the French did some great things to for us in the Revolutionary War, basically came to our aid and were our staunchest allies in the Revolutionary War, and basically helped us win that war. After that, didn't we kind of pay them back in like the turn of the, like around the 1918s in that area? Didn't we do that?
Yeah, about three different times, four different times.
Okay, and then later on, about 20-something years later, didn't we do it like in a major way in a something called World War II? Was it something like that?
I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about the Security Council, and I said that the Germans are not a permanent member of the Security Council because they actually lost World War II. The French were in World War II, but really were a non-participant for most of it, but they are a permanent member.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have much to do with anything. They just sort of, whoever was marching into Paris that day, they cheered them, and then whoever was marching out, they kicked them, and that's what they... you see those pictures of them kicking Nazis on the way out, you know, after they kind of stood there and waved little flags. They've been doing that to us ever since.
Now that's the French, all right? Now, the Germans, after we defeated them twice in the 20th century, in the second go-around, instead of demanding reparations from them, which we had the right to do, the historical right to do, we had something called, wasn't it called the Marshall Plan?
The Marshall Plan still exists. It's called
they
the
They basically
OECD.
Pulled their bacon out of the fire, so to speak, and reconstructed that part of Europe, right?
Not only we pulled their bacon out of the fire and reconstruct them, but there was this little thing also called the Berlin Airlift. When the Soviet Union then decided to literally lay siege to the whole city of Berlin, because remember, Berlin was within East Germany, and we controlled three quarters of that, but the of the city, and then so we set the DC-3s on and whatever else we use, the bombers.
Yeah, DC-3s.
Filled with foodstuffs, and brought in millions of tons of food to keep them alive so that Berlin didn't fall into the hands of the Soviets.
Think about that kind of geopolitical situation.
Right.
All right, now, that's the Germans.
Yeah.
It was less than 10 years ago, the Mexican economy was literally about to tank. The middle class lost a ton of wealth when their stock market collapsed, the peso collapsed.
The peso.
And they needed like $20 billion in money from us, like...
afternoon.
Mr. Clinton, could we have it like right now?
Yeah.
Didn't that happen?
Yes, can I come over and pick up the check?
Yeah, can we come get the check?
every small business...
Could it be certified funds too, please, sir?
Exactly.
Now, here we go. We got those three allies, so-called allies.
Right.
Now, I don't have a problem with them disagreeing with us about what to do about Iraq, but they're not acting like allies, are they?
No, actually they are not. Years ago, happily many years ago, because I'm still alive, when I had my first angioplasty, my first developed heart disease, my brother asked me how I was doing. I said, you know, my body feels a little bit like France. It's still an ally, but I just don't trust it anymore. That's the way you have to deal with these guys. I mean, they're still out. You know, it's like that line from The Godfather, you know, keep your enemies close, your allies close, and your enemies closer. We've got to keep these guys really close.
Somebody said that the French were the best at fighting with their friends and surrendering to their enemies.
That's right. There is, I'll tell you, I mean, the Germans will come back around again, and the Mexicans will do whatever. The Mexicans aren't going to do.
But listen, frankly, Mexico basically turned away the premier of Spain this
weekend.
Spain,
yeah.
I mean, he made a trip down there, knowing he was coming to see his alleged good friend Bush afterwards. And what's the guy's name? I've forgotten
Fox.
The president's name. But God bless him.
You mean the Spanish president. But Fox is the guy.
Oh, no, Vicente Fox of Mexico. Yeah, no, but even with all that, I mean, what I'm saying is that was a pretty major snub to Mr. Bush, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I was talking to Tony Snow about that on Saturday. I was going to do my regular Fox gig on Saturday afternoon, and we got bumped because of the
press conference. I was looking for you.
They had the press conference on, so we were just sitting on the set and chatting. And we were talking about that exact thing. When did the relationship between George W. Bush and Vicente Fox just collapse? I mean, not just, you know, they're not best friends anymore, but that's evidence of a full-blown collapse of a previously very strong relationship. And I'm not sure that's very healthy for the Mexicans. I'll tell you, in Texas, I think we've talked about this, in Texas, which has a very high percentage of Mexicans, Mexican-Americans,
right,
and Mexican immigrants, Mexicans get along pretty well because Texas has a history of using the government as a last resort, not a first resort. So if you want to come to Texas, that's fine, but you're going to be really hungry unless you get yourself a job.
Right.
In California, of course, it's the other way around. So the Californians find themselves in a really uncomfortable position of having to support through tax dollars.
Major welfare state, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. An enormous percentage of immigrants that aren't really participating in the economy. So that mix of things, I think, and Mexico really not just turning their back, but turning their back and kind of, you know, kicking stuff at us on their way out is not a healthy.
No, it isn't. But back to my other point, Rich. Intelligent people can disagree on things in a reasonable way.
Right.
How could the French and the Germans, for example, have handled themselves differently without actually thwarting us? How could they have been against this without actually, you know, showing their backside so much? How would you have done that?
Well,
you've been advising them.
What happened in Germany, as we've all read about, is that Schroeder, Gerhard Schroeder, who I was on TV on a different show. I said, who's a German thug? And then I said, as an aside, that might be a redundancy, and that it caused a lot of consternation.
Send all mail to Rich Gannon, folks, in care of. Stand by, Rich. We'll take a quick break right after these messages.
What do we think about that?
Mullings.com is Rich's website. That's where you can go to find his a lot of information, especially his tri-weekly newsletter, which comes out three times a week, then that would be. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rich Gannon is our guest. And folks, that's Mullings.com, MULLINGS.com. And whether
getting
you're
near dawn. It's getting near dawn.
That's right. folks, that's a site where you can go to find out what's going on out there in the political world, and even if you're not a Republican, which Rich is unabashedly,
right.
He has a lot of folks who aren't Republicans who subscribe because they want to see what the enemy's up to. But check it out when you get a chance. It's very interesting, short pieces that won't take you long to read. Mullings.com. Rich, have you ever seen a time? Do you remember in history a time when there's been as much anti-Americanism abroad and as much pacifism around the world as there is right now, in the face of some pretty, pretty sophisticated evildoers? Is there ever been a time like this?
In the first part, I think probably the Vietnam era was like that. But there's a difference.
That was more inside the U.S. wasn't it?
it wasn't reported the same way, Jim, because we didn't have, you know, four full-time 24-hour cable networks.
So you
saw what they showed us. But the I was talking to somebody the other day, and we had a younger person in the room with us, and we were talking about getting into these wars. And And the young woman was saying the same thing. She said, well, was it like this during the Vietnam War? I said, not getting in, because we sort of backed into that.
Right.
And then by the time everybody woke up, you know, 6 years later, it was...
We were like the frog. We were sort of like the way they cook a frog. You know, you put him in the water and turn the water up. Slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah. But this is, it's not clear to me how much of this is really driven by a horror of war of any sort, and how much of it is, and I don't want to diminish the protests. I mean, they get to say what they want to say, but how much of it is just sort of almost nostalgic for what their parents did? You know, our parents got to protest. Let's go protest.
But Rich, listen, I saw an interview the other day of some young people in their early 20s in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's this idiot above them, you know, just over a parallel up there, above them, that would you know, he wakes up every morning wanting the southern tip of Korea, of the peninsula.
Right.
And these young people actually said, oh, we don't fear him. Well, what about if the United States Army pulled out? Oh, that would be fine. We don't care about that.
Well,
these people actually said that.
Well, that's part of the human condition, though. I think years ago, I wrote a column about the difference between having, you know, an employee and having a pet. I mean, a pet will play the same trick for you, or do the same trick for you for the same kibble, you know, until the day he dies. I mean, you'll just do one kibble, great, you know, rollover, cool, one kibble, rollover. Humans get used to what the current situation is and want something else, which is why humans kind of have developed a little bit farther than dogs. On the one hand, on the other hand, is they forget, you know, what... If, you know, you don't know what you've got until it's gone, kind of thing. So for those 20-year-olds in Korea, they've never known anything but peace and prosperity.
Yeah.
And as far as they're concerned, there's this occupying force that they don't understand what would happen if we left. And, you know, frankly, we can't. I mean, it's easy for us to say, well, let's get out of there, and then they'll see. But we can't do that, because then we'll just have to go back and fight it again.
What do you think is going to happen now? Today, as early as today, there may be another resolution taken to the Security Council.
Yeah, but they're going to take it today, but I don't think they're planning to vote on it for a week.
Yeah. When will they vote on it?
Probably the middle of the month, and my guess is that will be it. I mean, at that point, they will. I think we even when you and I were talking just off the air when we chatted with each other a couple of weeks ago, I said that Saddam would be gone by about the Ides of March, and I'm still going.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much. Yeah, I agree with you on that, and I still hold out my prediction that we actually won't have what anybody could call a war. I still predict that that's what's going to happen.
Well, that's, you know, from your lips to God's ears. I think that would be the best outcome for everybody. I used to think that too. I'm a little less, only because I don't see any glimmers of it. There was a time in the overseas press when I was seeing a lot of sort of chatter about that in the reporting, and that's died down. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe the negotiations have gotten to the point where nobody's talking anymore, and that's a good thing. But
you know, Rich, what makes me angry at the Germans and the French and the Mexicans, for example, not that the Mexicans matter that much, but the reason that I get aggravated at those guys, it's not a matter of them disagreeing with us. If they understood what could be accomplished by playing rough with Hussein, if they had aligned themselves, even reluctantly, just had not thwarted our efforts, I think that Saddam Hussein would already be gone,
and
without a shot fired.
Oh, I think that's right. I think there is an aid and comfort level to this thing.
Every morning, they're aiding and abetting him, no question about it.
The German, of course, Schroeder only got reelected because he needed to make a deal with the Green Party, which is, of course, the anti-war party. And he barely won anyway. And then he got spanked about 2 months later by losing, in essence, his home territory. It'd be like Bush losing Texas.
Uh-huh.
But for all of that, the Germans are providing a lot of support, both in terms of basing and in terms of putting troops into Afghanistan to relieve some of our stuff there.
So their
talk and their actions are not exactly the same. The French, on the other hand, are just being French. I mean, they're
doing what they would do. The things that are going to happen in the next 12 months, folks, globally, could set the tone for which way the next century goes, in my opinion.
Oh, I think that's right. I think this is a very dicey time. And I think because we've got some really smart people working on this stuff, I think it's going to be a good outcome.
Right. Absolutely. Rich Galen, thank you for your insights today.
Thank you, my friend.
Good visit. Yeah. Mullings.com, right, Rich?
Yes, sir.
Three times a week. You'll like it. It's free. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you, sir.
See you later, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Going to take a quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Rick Pinion. We're going to talk about your retirement plans. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.